You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, get up! Good morning. It is time to get up with Green Bay Gossip. One legendary Packer dishes on another. You cannot miss what he had to say. Then we've got news on LeBron, and it's bad, potentially real bad. Woj has the latest on what it means for the season and beyond. He's coming up. Plus, why the D in Big D stands for Dak and what his return will mean for how about them Cowboys. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Wednesday from the Seaport. I am Greeny, delighted you've chosen to get up with us, and equally delighted that they have. Take a look at the squad we've put together. Woj is coming up in a minute. Jeff Darlington, RC, and Mike T are ready to make some plays. But we begin with the game of the night. Nets-Bucks rematch. They played Sunday. Kevin Durant had 42. Giannis had 49. They play again last night. A minute to go in the third. Nets down two. It's KD. 4-3. So smooth. Nets a one-point lead. Bucks would make a bucket. Nets would come back down the other way. This time it's Kyrie throwing it up for three. They would score 21 straight, those two, for the Nets in the third quarter. Brooklyn a two-point lead to the fourth. Now, in the fourth quarter, Bucks have a six-point lead, and it's Giannis in the lane. Unstoppable, plus the foul shot. Nine-point game. About a minute later, Chris Middleton working in traffic. Bucks, an 18-1 run over a four-minute stretch in the fourth, and then just over a minute to go, it's KD no, but then it's KD again, and it's KD no. He would score 32. Giannis had 36 plus 12 boards, and the Bucks win again. So they sweep this little mini-series. This time they take it 124-118, and with that win, Milwaukee now a game and a half back of Brooklyn for the two seed in the East. Three games back of the Sixers for number one. The Nets, meanwhile, fall to 1.5 out of the one seed. So that's the story in the East. The big story in the West is LeBron James, who is expected to miss back-to-back games against the Clippers and Trailblazers Thursday and Friday to rest his injured right ankle. But it is sounding increasingly likely that he is going to miss more time than that as he works through the discomfort in the ankle that kept him out for 6 weeks. In fact, our own Adrian Wojnarowski has gotten up early this morning because there is news on this injury with LeBron. Woj, what is the latest?
Well, Greeny, certainly as we reported yesterday, LeBron James will miss this back-to-back with the Clippers and Blazers. And then they've got a couple more games coming up. Phoenix, New York, two of the best teams in the NBA. And listen, the Lakers are trying to stay out of that play-in tournament right now, but they may have to be without LeBron. You know, into next week, he has got to get this ankle right before the postseason, and certainly he'll start to take it day-to-day as he gets past this back-to-back, Greeny. But listen, he re-aggravated that injury by coming back last week. He saw the losses piling up for the Lakers, wanted to get back and play and help that team. And without any real practice time in LA, you know, the only way he could go out and really test that ankle was in a game. You know, and I'm told it was difficult for him to really explode off that ankle, to make hard and sharp cuts. And so I think right now for the Lakers, for LeBron James, wherever they land in the standings, they've got to have a healthy LeBron James in the postseason, a dominant LeBron James, whether that's trying to come out of the play-in tournament or that's in, you know, staying in that top six. You know, but right now that ankle needs rest, and I believe the plan for LeBron James is to try to get that rest before we get to the postseason.
And so I'm trying to make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you telling us that we feel there's a real chance that LeBron James will not play again this regular season?
I think he's going to try to play again in the regular season, Greeny. It may be later next week. Listen, he's got a tremendous threshold for pain. He has shown that in his career and certainly a determination to play. but that ankle does need rest right now, and he probably can't get it fully healthy until the offseason. He's going to have to play with discomfort in the playoffs. So we'll see as we get into next week and get closer to the final games of the regular season whether LeBron wants to push it or continue to try to give it some time and try to get back as close as he can to 100%. I don't think he's going to be able to be fully 100% for the rest of the season. You know, he's going to probably have to play with discomfort in it.
Wow. So it's the ankle now that will hover over the rest of the NBA year. The very latest from Woj, always outstanding. We'll get Jay Will a little later with his perspective on what this means. Meanwhile, from one superstar to another, let's get to the latest with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. This week, another legendary former quarterback weighed in on the situation in Green Bay. Take a listen to what Brett Favre had to say on his new podcast, Bowling with Favre.
And knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well, if he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival or family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back and saying if it's not resolved or if, even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got one up on him, he ain't gonna play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit.
Knowing Aaron, he would sit. Those are important words. Ryan Clark, why? I was going to start with Jeff, but I have to start with the laughing man. Ryan Clark, why are we laughing?
Because Brett Favre just basically said, look, Aaron ain't no good dude. He's like, I don't care if you his family. I don't care if you his friends. If he got an issue with you, Aaron Rodgers ain't messing with you. Like, he ain't talking to you. We've heard the things with this family. Brett Favre is basically saying, look, I was the quarterback that wouldn't go away. I thought the best way to get back at you was to stick around as long as I can possibly be there and play for other team. What he's saying about Aaron is, Aaron, if he feels like he can't mess with you, he will just isolate you. He won't be a part of your life at all. And so the Green Bay Packers ain't gonna get him, and nobody is gonna get him. When you listen to what Brett Favre says, and he says he feels like he knows him fairly well, he's basically saying is this: when Aaron Rodgers is pissed off, it doesn't matter who's involved, he is not coming around.
I think that there's a lot of history that sort of suggests that's well-documented, RC, so I'm with you. So then, Jeff Darlington, that brings it to you. What are you hearing from around the league about the way we should expect this thing to go when June 1st rolls around?
Well, Greeny, I'll be curious to see if the Packers do take what Brett Favre said into consideration. To be completely candid, that was my exact thoughts when I saw that Aaron Rodgers wanted out. I mean, I've known Aaron's brothers for a long time, and not to make this personal because I think that they all deserve their privacy with that situation, but it's very true. I mean, the conviction of Aaron Rodgers is such that he is willing to stand firm when it comes to something like his family. So if it's about a football organization, I mean, I just can't expect the Packers to look at that and say, yeah, we're going to flip this guy and make him want to come back. That said, Matt LaFleur continues to try to do that. Aaron has no problem with LaFleur. LaFleur has flown to L.A. to try to talk to Aaron about it. It's still about management and what happens there. You bring up a good point, though. They've got just under a month right now to kind of go through some marriage counseling because they can't really trade him until after June 1st anyway. So they can continue to use that excuse, kind of milk things for the next several weeks to see if maybe they can make some headway with Aaron. But I go back to the same thing I was saying before. It's been years on a much more personal situation. I don't know if a month is going to be enough to really sway Aaron Rodgers' opinion.
So, Mike Tannenbaum, the people who have to do this mending, in theory, are the president, Mark Murphy, and the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. And at some point, what is it that turns the tide? If you're sitting in their chair, at what exactly is it that happens that makes you say, okay, I have to transition my thinking now from how do I make this thing work with Aaron to I need to figure out the best way to trade him because I have no choice? How does that transition take place? What does it look like, and what happens then?
Yeah, there's an inflection point when he doesn't show up for training camp and you have to make the determination, we're not going to cut our nose to spite our face and not let him play this year because that's lose-lose. He doesn't play, he becomes the next Carson Palmer who sat out the whole year, and then we get no value for Aaron Rodgers. And when once that point happens, they'll give permission to other teams and they'll see what the best package is. And here's where it gets really interesting and we have strange bedfellows, Greeny, which is there's a contract between Team A and Team B. And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't like where the Green Bay Packers have a deal, let's say Philadelphia offers three ones and he doesn't want to go to Philly, he just doesn't show up. So they actually, as they're getting divorced, have to be partners. Ironically, I lived this a decade ago where we had to recruit Brett Favre at the Jets for about 3 weeks to make him want to come to New York because Green Bay wanted him out of the NFC. So same dynamic. He may not want to go to Philly. Let's say he wants to go to Denver or Vegas. They're going to have to work together to get the best result possible for both Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
RC, give me the one team that should be on the phone right now and should not hang up until they find a way to get Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay.
So do I just get to pick this team, or does this have to be some realistic thing where Mike Tannenbaum can come on after me and say, this is the package Team A can put together, this is the package Team B can put together? Because if I'm the San Francisco 49ers, and I know we just drafted Trey Lance, and we think that he's brilliant, and we love him, and he can one day be this great player and take us to a Super Bowl, I'm on the phone. I'm still calling. I'm still trying to figure out what I can do, what package I can put together to get Aaron Rodgers. But obviously, if we go to the more realistic teams, you're looking at the Denver Broncos, you're looking at the Las Vegas Raiders. But if you're the Denver Broncos, you go all in, because at 9, you had an opportunity to get Justin Fields or Mac Jones, and you did not. But your team is set up to win if you get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there's a lot there, because the Packers took a corner late in the draft, in the first round of the draft. The Broncos took the corner early in the first round of the draft. The seeds of something could already be in place. Doesn't mean that they've already had the conversations, but it also doesn't mean they haven't. We have a lot more to get to on this as we continue. Plus, coming up, why Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield could have enormous 21 seasons and still not be enough to win the division. That is on the way. And so is this. Dak's Cowboys addressed some huge needs in the draft, but was it enough to make them the favorites in the NFC East? Those are the questions. The answers are on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Blue Moon. Blue Moon, a taste made brighter. Please drink responsibly. Let's take a look at where we stand now in the AFC North. With everybody done with their wheeling and their dealing, the Bengals were the first team to select a wide receiver in this year's draft, grabbing Ja'Marr Chase, superstar potential, out of LSU, former teammate with Joe Burrow. The Steelers became the first team to take a running back. They took Najee Harris out of Alabama, the most productive back of all of those that have been there since Nick Saban became their coach. Two picks later, the Cleveland Browns took cornerback Greg Newsome out of Northwestern, so addressing that defensive secondary. Their roster looking loaded at this point. And then immediately after that, the Ravens took Rashad Bateman, 27th overall, wide receiver out of Minnesota, who was big and fast and might just be the player to help shift around the dynamics of that offense. And so right now, as we take a look at our friends at Caesars Sportsbook, they see Baltimore as the favorite in the division, with Baker Mayfield and company not far behind at all, and the Steelers just behind that. And so the reason I wanted to bring this up as I bring the crew back in here is, you know, we're kind of done now. You know, it's funny how these things, it feels as though we have forever, and then it sneaks up on us. We had the free agency. Now we had the NFL draft. So there's a little bit of wheeling and dealing left to come. But by and large, these are the teams we're going into next season with. So as of right now, Jeff Darlington, I'll start with you. Who's the best team in the AFC North?
I believe the Steelers. I'm surprised to see plus 400 there for the Steelers. I really just think that they got much better in the draft with Najee Harris and adding a couple offensive linemen. I think this is a championship caliber defense, even after losing Bud Dupree. Like, I'm higher on the Steelers right now than I certainly was last year. I know the Browns are what they are, but I'm saying Steelers here. I think the Steelers win this division.
It's interesting. A team that was 11-0 at one point and has since been left for dead by most people, but not by Jeff Darlington. Mike T, how about you?
This is a two-man race between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. And on the last drive of the last game of the season in overtime, Lamar Jackson scores and gives the division to Baltimore. And here's why. Eric DaCosta did a great job in the offseason. He attacked the 32nd ranked offense in terms of passing yards, and they signed Sammy Watkins and then drafted Tylan Wallace and Rashad Bateman. I love when you turn a weakness. It doesn't even have to be a strength green. Just be average, and this is going to be Baltimore's division.
Yeah, you heard him mention Tylan Wallace, who is a wide receiver with a lot of potential out of Oklahoma State, who they drafted later in the draft to go along with Rashad Bateman, who we mentioned. RC, why were you laughing?
Because I just love the fact that Tannenbaum, like the GM focal point for Tannenbaum, always gives him like these great answers. And then you got Jeff, who started off and he said he was higher on the Steelers than other people. I mean, as Jeff Saturday would certainly say, he's certainly high if he thinks that the Steelers are going to win, because this is for the Cleveland Browns. Listen, when you look at what the Cleveland Browns have done throughout this offseason, you know, you talk about a team taking a weakness and not making it average, but making it really good. John Johnson, Troy Hill, you draft Greg Newsome, you bring in Jadeveon Clowney, you get Owusu Kimura, who should have been a first-round draft pick, but he had a heart condition. If he's healthy and if he can play, you've now added one of those pieces that now you can be in a base defense against sub packages or against 11 personnel offensively. The Cleveland Browns are the best team in this division. They have a quarterback that's on the rise. You get Odell Beckham Jr. back, and Kevin Stefanski is a star at the coaching position. And so, do I want to say the Steelers are the team? Absolutely. I love to sit here and lie with you and chill with Jeff Darlington and now be a darling in Pittsburgh, but it's going to be the Brownies that finally really go to the Super Bowl, and we're not talking about just after eating Mexican food.
Why? Well, go ahead, Jeff. I'll give you a minute. Go.
No, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm sick of the whole Browns thing. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm more willing to give the Steelers the benefit of the doubt than the Cleveland Browns. You can call me lazy in that take. That's fine. I'll believe it when I see it.
All right. I will take it a step further than RC did. You can put the Browns helmet under my face, or under my name, I should say, and I'll say this. There is every reason to believe the Browns should be better this year than they were a year ago, so I'll take it this step farther.
Yes.
I believe the Browns are the single biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC going into this season. And that's inclusive of Buffalo and absolutely everybody else. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. What do you think, RC?
Hey, I'm with you, Greeny. Greeny, remember early on in this offseason, I took a lot of heat for putting them number two in the AFC, and they've just gotten better since. Great mind think alike, Greeny, and like you said, we will not be appreciated until we are gone.
Right, till long after our time. Guys, stay close. Much more football as we go. But let me get into the baseball last night. The scene last night. Astros, Yankees. If you ever wondered, what do they mean when they say Bronx cheer? They mean this. That was the reception that Jose Altuve got, and most of the Astros got last night. Into the light of the fans, Altuve would pop out there. So here we go. Then we go to the bottom of the first. Giancarlo Stanton, when he hits them, they stay hit. Look at that one, launching a 2-0 curveball from Zach Greinke down the left field line. Two-run shot. Stanton's seventh of the year, gave the Yanks a 2-1 lead. Now sixth inning, tied at three, bases loaded for DJ LeMahieu. Here comes a play. Here comes Bregman. Here comes a bare hand. Here comes the throw. Oh, it's going to get away. Odor's going to try and score. Watch the collision at the plate here. Martin Maldonado is the catcher. Odor is coming in hard, and boom. Oh, that one. You take a look at Maldonado. He goes down. Down they both go. Both players would leave the game. We're waiting for updates on them. Meanwhile, the next batter is Stanton, and Stanton hitting them where they ain't. Big night for Giancarlo Stanton. He had four hits, three ribs, and the Yankees get a win to the delight of their fans by a final score of 7-3. And our friend Robert Stanberry, only the third, otherwise known as Buster, gets up with us here this morning. What was your reaction to the reception that we got for the Astros at Yankee Stadium last night, Buster?
And Granny, let's be honest, we played the polite part of the reception. The other part, we would get fined by the FCC because of how the Yankee fans reacted. Look, this was a window for Astros players into the rest of their baseball lives. because what happened in 2017, 2018 with sign stealing is an indelible part of the legacy. And this is how fans, how some of their opponents are always going to react to them. Look, I think Jose Altuve has a chance to be a Hall of Fame player. He's going to make a speech in Cooperstown someday. He's going to get booed in Cooperstown. And they're never going to be able to get away from that. It's only a question of how they're going to be able to deal with it.
Oh, there's so much to unpack in just that sentence. I would love to do it sometime on the radio. But meantime, let me get to the next order of business, and that is Jacob deGrom, who is probably right now the best player in baseball, but was scratched from his start yesterday with a lat injury. What do we know?
The Mets are cautiously optimistic that he isn't going to miss a significant amount of time. Look, they didn't put him on the injured list after getting the results back from the examination yesterday. They're saying that he just has that inflammation. So they're hoping that he only is backed up a few days. And let's face it, he's the most important player in that franchise. 122 batters faced this year, 59 strikeouts. Let's hope that this is only a case where he just misses a few days.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous. He's actually a good hitter, too. He's a better hitter than most people are when they're facing him. Finally, we have a new feature here, and it is called Bet the Family Farm. And that is because Buster grew up on a Vermont dairy farm. And so here's my question. If you had to bet the family farm, would you say Mike Trout is poised for the best season of his already brilliant career?
Yeah, and let's face it, I'm not going to bet the likes of Daniel Boone, my former Angus Steer, lightly. And so Mike Trout is a safe bet. He is absolutely having the best season of his career, hitting .410, .779 slugging percentage. And that's because baseball Superman has figured out his kryptonite, which had always been high fastballs, Greeny. This year, he's even hitting those. He's got the X-ray vision and the superpower against high fastballs, hitting .316 with a .632 slugging percentage. He's 29. He's in his prime, hyper-competitive. He's putting all that experience together, having an amazing season.
Just look at the on-base percentage. He gets on base more often than he does not. In any season in Major League Baseball history, that is a remarkable stat. This year in particular, it's ridiculous. Buster, let's talk later. Thank you very much, my man. Meanwhile, as we continue in just a moment, if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to any AFC team, does that automatically make that team a Super Bowl contender? The question is easy. The answer is complicated, and it's on the way as we continue. Look at the family farm. That's where Buster grew up, milking cows and whatever else it is they do there. We'll be right back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and Wipe It Clean is brought to you by Clorox. Let's go through some possible trade proposals as we sort of wipe the slate clean in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. What are the possibilities of places he may wind up going? Well, we have some interesting proposals that came from Bill Barnwell in a really interesting column that he did on ESPN.com about different places that Aaron Rodgers may wind up. And the one that everyone is talking about, of course, is Denver. So this is the trade that Bill set up. The Packers would get cornerback Patrick Surtain II, who was just involved in the draft, wide receiver Tim Patrick, quarterback Drew Lock, and then two number ones, a 22 and 23 first-round pick. The Broncos would get back Rodgers, plus a corner, Eric Stokes, who was drafted late in round one. The other thing that Denver did in this draft, early in round two, they took Javonte Williams, the running back from North Carolina. And our buddy RC loved that. He said, Javonte can ball. Just keep setting it up for Aaron, Denver. Looking good. So, obviously, RC, you were thinking the same way that Bill and a lot of other people were thinking. Yeah. Let me quickly go to our GM first, though. Mike Tannenbaum, as you look at that trade, does it make sense?
It really does. It really kind of fits the bill for both sides, and here's why. I think Denver becomes a Super Bowl contender the moment that trade is made. And if you're Green Bay, you may have a young quarterback in Drew Lock. Let him compete with Jordan Love. And then you have multiple first-round picks in the future. I do think Denver made a mistake in the draft, and here's why, Greeny. They should have taken that Chicago Bear trade, which was going from 20. They could have gone up to 9. Chicago would have gotten Justin Fields. Denver could have gone back to 20 and gotten either Greg Newsom from Northwestern or Caleb Farley, both really good corners, and a 1-4 next year. They could have used that additionally to take Bill Barnwell's idea and build on it and given even more first-round picks to Green Bay to enhance the offer. So, and then ironically, Green Bay would have Chicago's first-round pick. So I think this is a good foundation, and this could be something that could actually get done.
All right, so RC, just take this deal, basically, and you wouldn't be taking a whole lot off of Denver's roster that they would require. Obviously, Drew Lock becomes irrelevant if you have Aaron Rodgers, and they've already traded for Teddy Bridgewater. So if you put Aaron Rodgers on the Denver Broncos right now, do they become the biggest threat to Kansas City and the AFC immediately?
You know what? I believe they do. And no, this doesn't mean that the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, the Buffalo Bills aren't involved. But when you look at quarterbacks, even when we watched the Buffalo Bills play the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship, you could see the difference in quarterbacks. You could see the difference in the way that they move teams. Aaron Rodgers immediately puts you on a level where you feel like going into a game against Patrick Mahomes, we might have the best quarterback today or any day of the week. And now you're thinking Cortland Sutton, you have Jerry Jeudy, obviously Hamler on the outside, Javonte Williams in the backfield, Noah Fant at tight end, and you have a defense that's getting better. Von Miller is healthy. If Eric Stokes is now the new safety, the new cornerback opposite Kyle Fuller, and obviously Justin Simmons, who is re-signed for 4 years. I believe if you put Aaron Rodgers on this team is built to win right now. And Aaron Rodgers is the type of player that gives other people on the team the confidence that a Tom Brady brought to Tampa Bay. And so if you're the Denver Broncos, you have to keep calling that phone. You have to keep texting, keep getting in Brian Gutekunst's DMs and saying, look, let's make this play. Let's make this move. Aaron does not want to play for you. Get something for him and let's move on.
And so, Jeff, I feel like Denver is the team that we keep hearing about publicly the most. The people you talk to inside the league, is the sense you get that right now the favorite to land Aaron Rodgers is Denver?
Yeah, I would say that, and it's not based on, like you've said, the conversations between Denver and the Packers, which we're unaware of at this point. It's instead the fact that, like, the draft, for instance, maybe remedied a lot of quarterback situations across the league. Like, I would say Chicago, for instance, would be a team, despite being a bitter rival of the Packers, and how we could fathom that as something. But they got Justin Fields, so that settles that. Like, the Miami Dolphins feel like they're all in now with Tua to find out what he's got this following year. Could that change? Perhaps. Like, there's dynamics and landscapes that could change, but right now it feels like the Denver Broncos are still the team that is championship caliber in need of a quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers certainly would be that guy.
For what it's worth, his fiance Shailene Woodley, I believe, it lives in Boulder, Colorado, or is raised in Boulder, Colorado. That may have absolutely nothing to do with anything, but it's close to Denver. It seemed worth throwing into the conversation. Right? It just seemed worth throwing into the conversation. Now, Barnwell also brought up the Raiders, which is a fascinating one to me. And this is the trade that he projected the Raiders could make. The Packers would get Derek Carr, and then a number one and a number two next year, and then another number one in 23. And in exchange, Vegas would get Rodgers plus a fourth-round pick somewhere. So before I give you my opinion on this one, because I have a pretty strong opinion on this one, Mike T., what do you think? Just if you're looking at that on paper, and you're Green Bay, and you're assessing those two deals, which one do you like better?
Well, I like the first one because I want to see what I have in Drew Lock. I may have a quarterback of the future. He's nowhere near Aaron Rodgers, but we may be able to win with him. And here's something that bears repeating, Greeny, which is Aaron Rodgers may look at the Vegas offensive line and say, no, thank you. I need to be protected. I don't believe in what you did. I don't like Alex Leatherwood. You gave up three offensive linemen in the offseason. And again, if he doesn't report, game over. It doesn't matter if Green Bay loves the package from Las Vegas. So Aaron Rodgers has a meaningful seat at the table. And he may say, you know what? I may want to be coached by Pat Shurmur in Denver. Maybe I don't like John Gruden. That's going to be a factor behind the scenes, because if he doesn't show up, there is no trade.
I will give you the flip side of that. Obviously, he may not have any interest in John. But RC, you and I both know John. I mean, John Gruden worked at ESPN for a decade. I interviewed him once a week, every week for 10 years. John Gruden has never stopped trying to find Brett Favre again. He developed Brett Favre as a quarterback coach in Green Bay.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he has never stopped seeking that guy. And when we always jokingly say Gruden's favorite quarterback is always the next one he can get, it's because he's always trying to get back to that. It is my belief, RC, that John Gruden will do anything and would give anything to get Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
I love that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. John Gruden will talk Mark Davis into getting a real-life fade if he could get Aaron Rodgers. He will make him change his haircut. That's how bad he wants Aaron Rodgers. Listen, and I'm not mad at him. And if you're the Green Bay Packers, I know Mike T is saying maybe he doesn't like that job or he doesn't like that trade or Aaron Rodgers won't like that trade. If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I like it. Right, I get Derek Carr, who I believe is a better quarterback than Drew Lock, and Aaron probably won't win as many games because he's going to get killed behind that offensive line. And so that is a real thing what Mike T is talking about with Aaron Rodgers having a seat at the table. You have to look at the team, not just the fact that the head coach likes you or loves you, but you have to look at the team and say, can I win? Aaron Rodgers is at a point in his career, still an MVP, but he's on the downside, right? He's closer to the end than the beginning, and he wants a Super Bowl. That's why the Denver Broncos trade makes more sense for Aaron Rodgers, if not the Green Bay Packers.
And super quickly, Jeff, just what for the people you do talk to, what are people around the league saying about the likeliest destinations, be it Denver, Vegas, or anywhere else?
Well, again, I think Denver certainly feels like the likely one. But you talked about John Gruden. Like, is there the two most elitist offensive minds where they're like judging somebody if they can't recite a 45-second play? Or Aaron Rodgers and John Gruden? Like, I don't know, man. Maybe that's a match made in heaven because they could finally speak one another's language.
I think it would be great. And again, all these trades sending quarterbacks back to Green Bay. If Jordan Love isn't their quarterback of the future and he created all the problems through no fault of his own that were created there, that might be the worst draft pick in the history of the sport. Let's just say it. Let's take a short break. We'll come back with much more as we go on. Dak has got the offense, Chase Young the defense. So who wins the NFC East? Our crew knows, and so do I. And we'll tell you next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and we're talking about the NFC East and the biggest questions facing some of its teams. Ryan Clark, what's the biggest question in Dallas?
The biggest question in Dallas is, can we fix this defense? Can we figure out if it was Mike Nolan, and can Dan Quinn change things? Can Michael Parsons, can adding Kelvin Joseph to the outside, can all these different moves, Keanu Neal, make this defense better? Oh, and will we be able to block? I feel like Dallas has the most questions, but if they're answered, they could be the best team.
All right, so that's a low ceiling, a high ceiling, low floor. Mike T, how about the Giants?
The offensive line, Green, starting at left tackle, Andrew Thomas was drafted before Mekhi Becton of the Jets. He was very inconsistent last year. Nate Solder's coming back. Is he going to be the right tackle, or is it Matt Peart, third-round pick out of UConn, who only started one game last year? Those bookends have big question marks on either side.
Almost always feels like the Giants' big questions are about their offensive line. Jeff Darlington, how about Washington? What's the biggest question?
Well, Washington has a lot to offer right now. The secondary, though, is still a bit of a question and not something that can't be solved during training camp. They did pick up some really solid free agent acquisitions, but the free safety position still feels like one that is a big question. So it could all get sorted out. Maybe they've got the guys on the roster, but certainly something we should be watching.
All right, so let's see what Vegas thinks. Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill sees it as a tight race. Nobody has longer odds than 5-1 to win the division. But as you see, the Cowboys right now are the favorites with Washington right behind them. And RC, I want to pick up on the thought that you had, because I think it's a good one. The Cowboys have a lot of questions. They also seem to have a lot of potential. If all the answers come back yes, then the Cowboys could be really good. I would agree with that. But how would you assess the likelihood that that is what winds up happening here?
You know what's crazy is I think it's highly likely. Listen, coming into last year and when teams or when we were having these conversations in the offseason and many of us were talking Super Bowl, I was one that wasn't. I said, okay, let's pump the brakes on the Cowboys a little bit. Let's see what happens going forward. But I like what they've done defensively. When you think about Dan Quinn and the success he's had as a defensive coach, not as a head coach in what his defense was, but as a defensive coach, I believe his imprint will be on this team. Micah Parsons is a star. And I think when giving Dak the $40 million contract, you give Dak that $40 million contract and empower him. Lael Collins should be healthy. They should be healthier on the offensive line, and Ezekiel Elliott has something to prove. Is it the biggest variance between floor and ceiling? Absolutely. I believe they'll be closer to the ceiling and, by that fact, compete in the playoffs.
All right, and so, Mike T., as you look at that division right now, if you had to bet your palatial estate in Boca Raton, which team do you like in the NFC East in this coming season? Let's put them up there. Go ahead, Mike T. Who you got?
In tax-free Florida, I'm taking Dak Prescott and Dallas Cowboys, and here's why. If we were drafting just from the players in the NFC East, we're taking Dak Prescott and then draw a line, Greeny. I don't even know who the second best player is. Maybe it's Chase Young, but Dak Prescott is so much better as a football player than anybody else in that division. I agree with RC about defense and Dan Quinn. But this is about the quarterback, and they have a great one in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all, honestly. I grant you, based upon the significance of the position, that he's the best player in the division. Chase Young is closer to being the best edge rusher in the sport than Dak is to being the best quarterback. Jeff Darlington, go. Who you got in the division?
Look, I'm going to say Washington. Ryan just did a really good job, though, selling me on the Cowboys. I feel like this could be finally in a division that is just always overhyped. I feel like this is going to be a fun race toward the end between Washington and the Cowboys, because I'm with him on the Dak Prescott angle. Like, that just elevates this team to a level, the empowerment of the contract, the whole deal. Like, I like what Ryan's saying there. I'll stick with Washington because I don't want to mess up the producers there with the graphic and whatnot, but I like what Ryan was saying.
Well, I'll take that and I'll raise it. I think Washington is one of the elite teams in the NFC. I genuinely do. RC, I think they're being sold short. That defense is great. It's not good, and it's getting better. And they've added some pieces on the offense. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, if he is not a superstar, which he is obviously not, I think can be at least an average quarterback. They had the worst quarterback play in the NFL last year, 32nd out of 32 teams by QBR.
Yes,
if they're just decent at that position, I think they're an excellent team.
Greeny, I understand that, but no one in the world in the last decade and a half has ever said that they are Ryan Fitzpatrick away from being a Super Bowl contender. And I love Fitzmagic. I enjoy to watch it, but that's just not a thing. They'll be a good team. They'll be very good defensively. They've also added some pieces offensively. But to me, the Dallas Cowboys are the cream of the crop in the NFC East.
All right, this is a fight I'm going to have to keep having with everybody. Meanwhile, Darlington, let me come back to you for some other things. I said most of the wheeling and dealing is done. But that doesn't mean we couldn't see some other players potentially on the move. How about Julio Jones, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think a lot of wheeling and dealing has been done. Julio Jones is certainly the one that we should be watching in the offseason. The Falcons don't feel the absolute need to do this. It's more of a situation that if the perfect offer does come up, perhaps they would entertain it. They've got the offensive star power to be able to maybe get by without such a awesome receiver like him, but I don't think this is something that they are going to force. So something to watch, maybe not something to necessarily expect. And the same could probably be said for Russell Wilson at this point, right? It finally feels like maybe he's staying put. And I mentioned earlier about the draft situation. If the Chicago Bears had not drafted Justin Fields, you would have not convinced me that Ryan Pace would have not come again to John Schneider and said, I'll give you more, and I'll try to convince Russ that this is the place for him. But at this point, it does feel like Russ or bust in Seattle. I think we're going to see him stick now once and for all. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, is still a fascinating situation. You know, the Patriots landing Mac Jones certainly probably, you know, definitely pour some water on that possibility. But the idea that the 49ers could eventually get some type of asset and avoid potential awkwardness of Jimmy and Trey Lance going into this thing still will resonate over the offseason. Yes, the 49ers feel like they're better with Jimmy G going into the start of the season, but I don't know, man. I'm going to keep an eye on that one.
Well, that is, I agree with you. That's the one to keep an eye on. And Garoppolo had nice things to say on KJZ radio yesterday about sort of how Tom Brady showed him the ropes once, and he'll do the same for Trey Lance. But we'll see how the thing plays out. Ryan Clark, let me start with you on this one then. Because I think the book on Trey Lance for the longest time was he's going to need to sit when he first gets drafted. And then all of a sudden, the week of the draft, that shifted to he could be ready to start week one. In your opinion, Ryan Clark, do the 49ers have a better chance to win the Super Bowl this year with Garoppolo or Trey Lance as their quarterback?
With Trey Lance. They also have a possibility first with Trey Lance. But I believe that his ceiling is higher. I believe that some of the things that he could add to Kyle Shanahan's offense is a lot different than what Jimmy Garoppolo can. And also think of the versatility you now have with the quarterback that can run. And now if you're getting him open or getting him out in the open on those boot stretches, or you're getting opportunities for the misdirections, and you add Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, obviously protected by Trent Williams. The issue is this, right? You keep Jimmy Garoppolo around, and I think you just settle for good early. If you have some questions about Trey Lance or you think he might not be ready, and even though you want to have that cushion there, right, you want to have that pacifier you could possibly have with Jimmy G, I believe it holds you back. When you don't have a guy like Jimmy G on the team, you draft Trey Lance third overall, you make him play, you allow him to play, and he grows on the field. And then maybe by week 17, he is that quarterback that gets you to the Super Bowl.
So, Mike T, let me ask you the question this way. Put Aaron Rodgers in the AFC. Where is San Francisco right now amongst the NFC contenders?
Oh, they're a prohibitive favorite with Tampa Bay, and here's why. Here's some sneaky big news courtesy of Hembo. Last year, the 49ers missed 68 games by defensive starters, most notably Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman, five different players, 68 games. No, that's going to be a massive improvement on defense. They could get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo this year. I love Trey Lance. Great ceiling. But this year, they could get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and a healthy 49er defense.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Can you win it, though?
You know what's so funny? We always talk about, like, the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes thing in the Chiefs and how well that worked out. But who's to say Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have just stepped in and been a baller from day one? You know, I know revisionist history makes it feel like the right situation. Trey Lance is not, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but maybe he doesn't need to sit. Maybe he could go in there and just get it done right away.
Of course. I guess the answer to that question is there are some things we'll never know. What we do know is the way they did it worked out great.
And, it worked out.
At this point, you wouldn't undo it under any circumstances. Mike T, go ahead. You were raising your hand. Final word.
Yeah, I think Trey Lance is going to just take a little bit of time here. He only threw 318 passes in college, played one game this year. A decade ago, we got criticized for taking Mark Sanchez, who played in 13 games at USC. This is not going to happen overnight. This defense is a championship caliber right now.
All right, let's leave that there for the moment. Much more as we continue. We're all over the NFL, but let me run the bases through a busy night in baseball. It was not a long night for Clayton Kershaw, that's for sure. The Dodger ace gave up four runs and lasted just one inning, the shortest start of his career, and a 7-1 loss to the Cubs in game one of a doubleheader. The Dodgers would also lose the second game 4-3. Meanwhile, the Braves' Ronald Acuna Jr. hit his major league leading 10th home run of the season for Atlanta, while their pitcher, Waskari Noah, one-upped him with a 427-foot grand slam, the first slam from a Braves pitcher in 4 years. Braves would win it by a score of 6-1. And finally, Mike Trout is the best player ever. I mean, he continues his hot start. He hit his 8th home run of the year Austin Meadows hit two home runs for the Rays, though, including a three-run shot in the eighth, and Tampa beat the Angels by a score of 8-3. And if you want baseball, we have it for you tonight. Dodgers-Cubs at Wrigley. That's the game that we have for you this evening in Chicago. Our coverage begins 7:30 Eastern right here on ESPN, and you can watch on the ESPN app. Coming up, news on LeBron, not what Laker fans want to hear. You'll hear the latest and what it means next. Get up on ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.